and a human, and then four lowly, humble hobbits. This group of people that all came together from different backgrounds, different talents, different experiences to form one fellowship to go and try to accomplish one mission, quest, or thing. So what is the church supposed to be? If it's not a building, what is the church supposed to do? Where are we going toward? In John chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, Jesus was talking with the woman at the well. And he says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship. Jesus said to her, believe me, woman, that a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. And also in John 15, 4 through 5, remain in me and I in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine. So neither can you, unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now there's a couple different ways of understanding the church. I want to take a look at an illustration that was produced by a theologian, Simon Chan. And this is under more of a traditional view in the way that it's been looked at in evangelical church issues and it could be called the functional view. So the functional of how it is that God's ultimate purpose is saving people. And his means to that end is the church. So the first question that's posed in both of these views is going to be the same. But in the functional view, which happens to be the one that generally arises, is that there's one big issue that I think comes out of this. What's next after being saved? If the church is all about just getting people saved, then the church is done. That's all they do. But that's not exactly what we find in Scripture. When we look at, this is the second posed relational view of how God views things, that God's ultimate purpose is forming a people for himself, and that his means to that end is personal salvation. So you are personally saved, but then you are being formed into a people of God. We find that this answer is quite different. There are over 50 instances found throughout the Bible of the statement, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Notice the way it doesn't say, you will be my person. All too often, I think, we get caught up in the individual way of viewing salvation, and not about what you're saved into. Because you're saved into a new family, a family of believers. Discipleship is not a solitary endeavor, but rather an undertaking within a covenant community. So there's three parts that I want to kind of highlight here. The church is three different things. They're interworking. They aren't individual and separate, but these are all aspects of the church. The church is the people of God. We look at Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." We're to be called to be set apart from the world as a people together. God wants a people. God wants a people that are going to submit to him, be reliant on him, live in his ways, and walk his path. When we look back to the Old Testament, we see the many times that God was walking with the Israelites, that follow this, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Do you ever feel like you, as a group, as a congregation, are God's field? He's working in you. He's building you. It is not just about an individual relationship. An individual relationship with God is part of it. But there's also more. The second part, because it's not about places, it's about being his people. The second point is the church as the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 21 and 26. It's going to be a little bit longer, but I wanted to highlight how much, because when I looked at what the church was supposed to be, it's all throughout Scripture. God is always talking about and pointing people into what it looks like to be his people. "For just as a body is one and yet many parts, or yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, for they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has arranged the parts, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again to the head, or the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' And if one part of the body suffers, all parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I have good news for you, if you didn't know it. You are indwelled by the Spirit of God. He has given you gifts. You may think that you don't have much to offer and convince yourself and listen to the lies that the world tells you, that the devil wants you to believe, that no, you're just a hanger on. It's not really true that there's been a transformation in your life. But I'm here to tell you it is true. The Word of God tells us that we are indwelled by His Spirit. And we have been given gifts to build up the body of Christ amongst each other. Gifts of teaching, of exhorting, of hospitality, of mercy, of leadership. We have opportunities in this body of believers that we have right here for you to engage and use your gifts. We have openings in different ministries. We just heard about greeting, that we need more greeters. We have people that we need to help out with the kids zone. Do you feel that God is working in you and through you to bless and to build up those around you? Because we are all part of one big family that is all brought in and brought together through Christ, our head. We are the branches of the vine, and as branches of the vine of Christ, we are called to be bearing fruit. If we are not in alignment with the ways of Christ, we cease to bear fruit. Imagine how the body weakens when parts choose to go their own way or to not participate. If my leg decided to stop working right now, my whole body would suffer. But if all parts are working together, because they all have different functions and different abilities and different gifts and different skills, they all build up to make it, the whole, stronger. Naomi Smith writes, "For too long we have proclaimed the gospel we have proclaimed the grace of the gospel without the obligations of the gospel, and personal salvation without our God-given need for others." Now I finally get to my main point. The church is fellowship. This aspect is, and I don't know if the reason why I thought about it or focused on it so much is because it's one of the areas where I am weakest myself in fellowship. So I wanted to look back at the earliest examples of the church in action in Acts 21:41-47. "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all the believers were together, and had all things in common. And they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all, to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." What an amazing fellowship of believers. There needs to be a priority of people and relationships within the church. Let me go back to Acts 4:32-35. "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each to the extent that they had need." It's an interesting idea because we hear that. I know as an American, I hear that and I hear, it's communist. That's communism. We need to just pool everybody's stuff together and then divide it out. Isn't that the way that they... I didn't say the government was doing it. It was done, born out of the Spirit of God, transforming their hearts that they wanted to give and to love one another and share with one another what they had. To build for the betterment of each other. To work through each other. And bless one another. Because of what God had done for them. It's because of what Christ had done for them in their own lives. That's the transforming thing that changes your whole perspective on the world. Or it should. Because if you're indwelled by that Spirit of Christ, it should cultivate and foster a sense among the church of joyful dependence upon one another. Ephesians 4:11 through 15 says, He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of the church of Christ, body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceit scheming, but speaking to the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is Christ. It doesn't say that the leaders, that the people who are teaching and that are doing the educating are the ones that are supposed to be doing the work of the church. They are training up the people of the church, the people of God, the body of Christ, to do the work of the church. And later on in that chapter, it talks about the way that the church should look. All bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. All throughout the New Testament, we see the repeated phrase with instruction to the churches, love one another, one another. Do good to one another. Lift one another. There's something about this fellowship thing that is super important to God that it shows through into how He expects us to live. It's impacted by our relationship to Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. It's a vertical and horizontal at the same time. Doesn't it bring you joy that we have been brought together? That you have a family? You have these people that from all different skills, abilities, backgrounds, experiences, they're different than you. Ooh, that's scary. It's scary when people are different than me. I know how to get along with people who are like me. But when somebody's different, what a great opportunity to have a safe proving ground for training and equipping each other in growing in Christ's likeness than to have an agreement on the head of who we are serving. If we don't have that point of agreement, they're just another person. I want to talk about exercise here. I know we got New Year's, resolutions coming up and things like that. Exercise, especially if you haven't done it in a while, can be very uncomfortable. Sometimes it can be awkward. You don't really know exactly what you're doing. It's been a while. It can be exhausting. And quite frankly, it requires effort. It takes work. But some of the benefits of exercise is that you grow in strength. You have growth. You aren't left in the same place that you were. You might even develop and create a habit, a good new habit. You can have improved performance after regularly exercising. So, this is the scary part of the message. We are going to do something different. I'm going to stop talking for a little bit. And I would like us all to engage in a bit of spiritual exercise. In a little bit, I'm going to put up a timer. It's going to be 10 minutes. I know, you're going to be like, wow, that's weird. You want to stop talking for 10 minutes. Don't worry. We still have time. Cookies will still be there. I would ask that nobody sneak out the back in the meantime. Besides, I've asked Doug to block the door. So what I am going to ask you to do is in the sermon notes, everyone, if you have them, if you don't, you have like something that's around you that can be written on. You all have communication cards around you. There are pencils and things like that around. So I don't want to hear excuses about I don't have anything to write with. No cheating. First rule. Name tags. You can't just look at somebody's name tag and write it down. There are people within the church, within our community of believers, who are very limited in their mobility. So I would ask them to stay where they're at. But all of those of you who are able, I would like everyone to try to find either someone that they have never talked to here, introduce yourself, find out their name, write it down, because if you're like me, you'll forget. And find out just one thing about them in their life. Something current, maybe. Something that, whether it's with their jobs or their relationships or their illnesses or anything like that. It doesn't particularly matter. But this exercise is about creating a connection within our body of believers. Because we as a body of believers are obligated to interact with one another and to care for one another and to show God's love to one another. So, with that in mind, I know some people may even have to cross the Rubicon of the center aisle. But trust me, just like those hobbits, you can simply walk to the other side of the church and back again. So when we're about 1 minute remaining, I'll ask the worship team to come back up I still do have a little more to close it out. So that's why I don't want you guys sneaking out.
I was nervous.
Man, I love it when people stir it up. That's why I want to go to some Southern
Baptist. I didn't tell him exactly what I was doing. I just said I'm doing something
good,
different.
Good.
Otherwise, we might have restrained him back in the office.
We don't know who's talking today.
All right. We have about 1 minute remaining. If you can kind of start making your way back to your seats. If the worship team would please start making their way up front. We're just about out of 10 minutes. Wonderful fellowship, wonderful fellowship. You can. All right, time is up, time is up. Please return to your seats. If you can find your old seat, if somebody hasn't stolen it. If anybody asks you if you have worked out lately, you can say yes, during church. During church, with the church, as a part of church. I like this illustration because it shows each person bringing something different to be given and shared with each other. John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This love between each other and care for each other and building one another up is a witness in our lives to those around us of the work of Jesus Christ in us. It's a transformation that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. An internal transformation of the Spirit of God in you that is externally observable. In a community of believers, think of the power to change the world as we share that Spirit with one another. And may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow in love for one another. And for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with his saints. I know it seems like a bit of a strange exercise this morning, but it's an act of worship when we fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's saying that it's true, that you have created and grounded us in a new family, and we are all under your head. Horizontal and vertical. I'm going to ask you for one more thing this week. Remember those names I was asking you to write down? I want you to pray for the person that you met today. Or that you talked to today. I can't think of a simpler first step in loving one another more than in bringing them before God in their own concerns and their own lives. That when we start to learn about each other, because it's hard to love somebody if you don't talk to them and don't know them. And it's pleasing to our Father in heaven when his children are living in love for one another, like their King, who loves them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have united us in one family, under Christ as our lead, that he is the head. Help us to be an effective body, working together, forming one another, and building one another up. Amen.
Please feel free to join us as we close. I know that a lot of you know this song, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We invite you to join us for refreshments across the hall. We also, if any of you would like to have prayer, please feel free to come forward, and we have people here that can pray with you.